Warning, this show contains strong language and topics that some viewers may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, wrestling fans, and welcome to another edition of The Suplex. Oh my god, I have Andy Kwan with me as always. Is Steve Duff.
What is he doing?
I don't know.
Go against CA.
What? This is this new supercard. It's actually pretty good.
Dude!
Hang on. Charisma. Tag team.
What
Rock
are you doing? Why are you playing a game? Join the fucking show!
Why not?
God, okay. With me as you just heard. Then, fuck it. Come on, Antonelli.
And I'm not playing supercard at the moment.
I love how they do suplexes. They're like little cards that do suplexes to each other. It's hilarious.
Listen, I love supercard, but now's not the time.
Hang on, wait, it's Andre the Giant versus Seth Rollins, I just won again. And then, oh, hang on, Rob Van Dam, oh, I lost.
Great, now can you put it down?
Hi.
Hi.
So.
Hello.
How is
everyone? So, if you're not watching the Great British Bake Off, because why the fuck would you want to do that?
That's still going on.
It never ends, Carmine, it never ends.
Okay.
It's just a show that basically never ends.
This show will go on for 24 hours. No, it won't really. I can't do that.
We should do that someday. Just live stream a 24-hour Supla special.
Oh, dear God. I'll go insane.
For charity or something.
Okay, good.
What charity would want to be sponsored by us?
That's a good question.
That's a very good question, I think.
I'm sure we'll find something.
But before we move on, I've got a little story to tell. I've got a little story to tell this week, guys.
Oh, great.
Now, obviously, everyone knows that... You probably don't know this, because why would you? It's not, like, something I've ever mentioned. But I like seeing weird people. Right? I like seeing
right, where
weird...
Are we going?
Is that why you hang out with Andy?
Yes, exactly!
What?
Exactly.
No!
I like to see weird people. And I was walking in Chinatown down in London yesterday. And,
This can only end badly.
I saw for the very first time in my life, something I never think I'd see. Something I never thought I would ever see in my entire life. I saw a little Chinese midget.
God damn it.
A little Chinese... It was the most adorable thing in the world.
God damn it.
You know, it was kind of like one of those China dolls.
You know, that was probably a grown man and you just called him adorable.
He was adorable. He was small, and he was Chinese. Thus, he was adorable.
What the fuck's wrong? Why?
I don't even know what to say to this.
Why?
The only thing I need to see now in my life is a black Chinese person.
Stop.
No, I'm telling you, right? A black, like a properly...
You know, I remember why we never had him on the show.
But I'm just saying, literally, like, a black, like, literally... Like soot black Chinese person.
Do you want to remind us of how you're not gay? Somehow this is related.
guys, I'm just guys. No, I'm
I saw a Chinese midget. I'm not gay. I'm just saying.
You're not gonna let that go, are you?
No.
No, we're never letting that go.
You can thank Brooks in the chat for that, by the way.
But I'm just saying, right? I'm just saying. Tiny Asian man, brilliant.
Stop.
Anyway, moving on. So, Daniel Bryan doesn't need a second surgery. Word is going around now that Daniel Bryan will not need a second surgery on his neck, but there is still no timetable for his return to the ring.
This is good news, obviously.
Yes.
But the fact that there's no timetable means it's still like... We might as well not know anything at this point, because this doesn't play into WWE's plans at all, since there's no clue when he's coming back.
But if he does come back early, for example, he does come back early, then they can always crowbar him into the Nikki Bree storyline. It's the only thing that I can imagine them doing, because Lesnar and Cena are pretty much like set for at least the rest of this week.
The rest of this week.
Right. Yeah. I'm just saying, he won't show up at like Night of Champions.
No, that's guaranteed. But that doesn't matter, because Night of Champions is set.
Yeah. What are you getting at? That's literally what I just said, Conway. You're kind of stepping on my toes here, buddy.
No, but I'm saying, like, Brian's return could be at any time, so don't make plans for anything. Like, someone just said in the chat, Antonio just said in the chat, bring him back at the Rumble. Maybe they'll be able to do that. Maybe they won't. Who the fuck knows?
I gotta say, though, right? What a kick in the teeth for Daniel Bryan. He gets so over, like, seriously bloody over. He gets into the main event of WrestleMania. He wins it, and then he gets injured and has to hang up the belt. Like, how much of a kick in the teeth is that?
It's not really like a kick in the teeth because, I mean...
Well, it is.
Not WWE, anyway.
No, but for Daniel Bryan, that's what I'm talking about it from his point of view.
It sucks, for sure, but you say he got over as if he's no longer over. You want to hear the pop of a century? Wait until he comes back.
Yeah, I can imagine that's going to be a pretty big deal, actually.
I mean, there's probably a good reason to do it at the Rumble, because everyone kind of links the Rumble with, like, major things that happen.
Yeah, but...
So, why not just wait till the Rumble? Because I don't know that many people that give a toss about Survivor Series, or anyone that really cares about whatever the next pay-per-view is, so...
Yeah, but what about... What if he gets cleared to wrestle in October and you're saying, right, well, we'll just pay him not to do anything until January?
Yeah.
I mean, that is a bit of a dumb business move. He's one of the most over stars, and you're saying, well, we'll keep him off for three whole months, pay him to do nothing, just so he can have one little surprise. You can have one little surprise in having, I don't know, Jake Roberts show up. That can be a surprise.
I don't know, it's just I don't want him crowbarred in this stupid fucking storyline with Bree and Nikki.
Not with Bree and Nikki. That's such a waste of a storyline. Like, there's nothing to it.
His overness would die if he gets crowbarred in that.
Yeah, if they throw him into that, they'd be feeding him to the dogs. There's nothing to do there. There's no way you can fix it, not even with Daniel Bryan. And that's fucking saying something.
Well, it's a shit storyline, and the problem... My main issue with the storyline, besides the fact that it's just... It would never happen in real life. But besides that, Nikki is one of the worst actresses I've ever seen. And that's not... I mean, like, Raw shows how bad she is, right?
I wish you died in the womb!
Because she just does this weird thing. I mean, you notice, whenever she shouts, she sort of bends over a little bit. Like, she does this weird sort of, like, she's turning into the fucking Igor from Frankenstein. Have you noticed that? She does. She sort of goes into a little hunchback as she does it.
Yes, and she starts shouting.
Yeah.
I will get you, Nikki.
Like, you know, Gollum. No, that's Gollum. But the thing is, okay, so we all know Raw and wrestling is scripted. We get that. So, of course, she's not going to be a great actress. But even on Total Divas... Even on Total Divas, she can't even sort of bring together an emotion except bitch face. That is the only emotion she can naturally come across with. Bitch face. Natural fucking bitch face.
Sorry, are you
distracted?
Oh, a little bit, don't worry about it.
Oh my god, so I was playing a game and oh my god, what a dick I am. But Carmine's probably wanking into a sock. Oh, that's fucking great.
Don't worry about it. So,
clearly wanking.
Nikki is, you're right. She's terrible. She can't.
I thought you meant I was right about you wanking into a sock for a second. Then I was like, what?
What?
I was saying you were wanking into a sock, and then you went, yeah, you're right. So I was like, what the fuck is that shit?
I didn't even hear that.
I was like, the fuck.
This is going the worst. Okay.
So. Wow. Just go back and listen to this later, because Jesus, my mic has been muted this whole time. I typed. No word of a lie. I've been like, you wank into socks. Literally, ever. My mic has been muted this whole time.
It has.
But
I
no,
thought,
like, going
yeah.
back to the Nikki Bree storyline.
Not having a good day, people.
Going back to the Nikki Bree storyline, Brian himself has said it's bad. It's really
Wait,
bad.
Wait, when did he say that?
He said it in an interview.
No.
Absolutely.
Can
He's
pull,
like, this is the
Carmine,
stupidest.
Can you just quickly try and pull up that interview and just sort of read it out for people then in that case? Because I would love to hear what he actually said.
I'll see if I can find it.
We'll come back to this news article then. So, Andy, move on to the next piece of news.
Yes, the next piece of news is that the current gen version of WWE 2K15 is delayed. The current version of WWE 2K15 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, or Xbone, or whatever the fuck you want to call it, has been delayed to November the 18th, 2014 in North America, and the 21st of November 2014 internationally. The PS3 and Xbox versions will still go on sale as planned on October 28th, 2014 in North America and October 31st internationally.
Now, obviously, me and Carmine are more of the video gamers here than Andy. So I've got to say, I mean, me and Carmine were talking about this earlier.
I play video games.
FIFA.
Yeah. Fucking FIFA.
And
right, anyway. Okay. Anyway, we were talking about it, and I actually think this is a good thing.
It's a very good thing. I love it.
Because what it shows to me is that they know that the game isn't ready. They know that. So they've decided to postpone it just by like a few weeks to give it that extra sort of push that it needs. You know, if this was 2 years ago and it was THQ, they would just ship it out anyway. You know that.
Yes.
I've never heard of THQ ever postponing a WWE game.
Well, you never heard of them again, because lol, that's why they don't exist.
But I'm right, though. I'm right, right?
Yes, all those games are broken. The one, the last one they ever released, which was kind of still under the 2K sports banner, is still piteously broken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking horrible. Like, it just, my loading screen just crashes for no reason.
They're broken games.
It's just.
But.
Yeah, and the fact that this one's being delayed, even just by a little bit, means they're putting a little bit more work into it and just a little bit of extra
touches. They realize it's not going to be ready for release day. THQ just probably won't give a shit and just go, oh, we'll improve it in next year's game. Well. Why am I buying this year's game then if you know there's problems and you want to fix it in the next one? That's not a great selling point, Corey Ledesma.
Yeah. But another good thing is that if the achievements or trophies or whatever the hell you want to call them have been leaked, and like some of them involve like NXT and involving NXT superstars.
Yes,
in, like,
one of
the
them
actual...
is where you have to use an NXT star to beat John Cena.
Yes. But there is some kind of weird, like, mode that has not been talked about yet called Proving Ground.
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
Yeah, this is the first we've heard about it by looking at these achievements. And
a new mode. Maybe. There.
And the thing is as well, I think some of these achievements, if not all of them, were originally 360 achievements. So that means that somehow, some way, NXT characters are still in like the previous generation system game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
I didn't know that. So.
Because one of the reasons why everyone hates the Xbox One versions and the PlayStation 4 versions is because they have career mode exclusively on theirs, but if you're poor like everyone else, you can't get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a bit shitty.
Yeah, it's not needed, really.
I mean, I could see, like, the Xbox One's got the better graphics. That's a given.
Ah, well, PS4, but okay.
The Xbox 360 version doesn't get career mode. That's a bit shitty.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like punishing you for not upgrading to the next generation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's kind of
and
like...
And they might have been told to do that by, like... Sony and Microsoft?
No, I don't think so. I don't think
Maybe.
They were told no. Because the only reason why I can sort of reference that is look at the new Tomb Raider game. Because that's an Xbox exclusive, so that was clearly Xbox game involved.
No, if you read more into that, it's going to be it's going to Xbox One first, but it's not going to be exclusive forever.
Nevertheless, Xbox struck a deal with Square Enix to get that. Okay. Why would PlayStation and Xbox team together and over WWE and go, actually, guys, I think you can't have this mode. We both think this because we want our new consoles to do better. I think it was a natural move.
Stupid.
I think it was a natural move by 2K. I think they made that decision.
Yeah, because EA Sports that released like Madden and FIFA and
unfinished
else.
Games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but all their career modes and all their modes are on every single platform, regardless of what the fuck it is.
Even
so you are seriously trying to tell me that I can't do a basic career mode?
Oh no! Because... You have universe mode, I believe.
Yeah, universe
Who
mode.
Who cares? It's a pile of shit.
Universe mode's gotten better every time.
Oh,
but that's bad. The thing. What's going to be the difference between universe mode? Oh, I dropped a pen. live universe mode and career mode. What's the difference?
Career mode's probably going to be some sort of like you start in NXT. Move up, main roster, title matches, something like that. Like you stick as one person,
kind of like the Jacob Cass story from 2012.
Yeah, but less cutscene scripted stuff. It's
less
just more
Triangle
like
of Doom.
Yeah, and now it's just you do it.
Want to do it?
That's how I would do it anyway.
But, no, I mean, I think 2K, I mean, there's the one thing that's impressed me the most about 2K, ironically, I was playing it earlier. Look, linking, you see, references. I was playing Supercard, and to be fair, right, and I hate saying this, but it's a fuckingly annoyingly good game.
I don't know why. It's so shit, but brilliant.
Because they keep adding stuff and working on it and, like... just taking care of it.
That's the thing. Today, they had an update. The very, very, very first update. And now you can get Paige as a character. You can get... there's a new thing called People's Champion, where I don't even know, but it's like you bet on somebody winning a match, a real life match.
No, what it is is like you pick one of your owned superstars.
Right.
And then you have them represent you through the People's Champion competition, and then every time you win a match they get points, and then whoever has the most points at the end of the event, well, whatever, and then wherever you're ranked based on how many points you have, that's determines what.
Okay, to be fair, THQ, make it less complicated.
Because... let me look at it
because I'm very much like Carmine kind of just lost me.
The best. I'm not explaining it.
What a derpy thing.
Because I thought it would be like, oh, well, because the first one is going to be John Cena versus Brock Lesnar. So I was like, oh, well, you need either John Cena or Brock Lesnar to participate. And then depending whether Brock Lesnar wins, you know, you get a card, or whether John Cena wins, you get a card. But I'm not quite sure what Carmine was trying to say.
Yeah, I'm not even certain.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Maybe we're both right a little bit and we just got mixed up with certain parts. Okay, at the start, pick the superstar you want to play for. So, yeah, okay, I misread what that means.
Like Brock Lesnar.
So you can either side with Team Lesnar or Team Cena in this case.
All right, let's say Team Lesnar.
Then play the People's Champion Challenge to earn wins for your superstar and points for you.
Okay.
So each time you win, the superstar you're playing for gets a win. So if I win, Team Lesnar gets a win.
Oh, okay, it's making sense now.
When you win, you also gain 1, 3, or 5 personal points based on your opponent's deck level.
Nah, you've lost me.
No, then, okay, there's the amount of wins for your team, and then you personally also get points.
Okay.
It's not hard, Liam. The points you earn will move you up in rank.
I have a piece of paper that says I'm not dumb.
Well, this is the most convoluted fucking thing ever.
It's not convoluted. The superstar with the
fucking
most...
fucking convoluted as fuck.
The superstar with the most wins at the end of the tournament, or whatever, will determine what card prizes will be used as the rewards for your play. So if Team Lesnar wins, then the rewards
Everyone gets a Lesnar card.
Yeah, it's two legendary Lesnars, one epic Lesnar, and a legendary manager card if you're ranked number one. If you're ranked number 2 to 25, you get different rewards.
So it's kind of like a really elaborate version of the King of the Ring tournament.
A little bit. It's pick a side and try and rank yourself personally as high as possible. And then whichever side wins,
right,
that determines your reward for being whatever rank you are.
I see.
Anyway, in less Liam confusing news, I found the interview with Daniel Bryan.
Okay, yeah, let's go back to that. Let's go back to that.
So IGN was interviewing him about the affair angle. I don't know if you saw anything about this, Liam.
No.
So Stephanie and Brie, when they were in the middle of their feud, Stephanie brought on Daniel Bryan's the personal trainer and what's the word? The physical therapist.
Right.
Megan Miller. Or at least that's the name they gave her on TV.
Wasn't this basically, Claire Lynch.
Yeah, she's basically Claire Lynch.
Great.
So they bring her on, she's in the ring, and she admits that I had an affair with Daniel Bryan. So
after giving birth to AJ Lee's baby, wasn't that the storyline that she was in?
Not quite.
She fucking gets around, doesn't she?
AJ Lee's baby?
No, AJ, that would be interesting. That'd be one hell of a storyline.
You mean AJ Styles?
That's the one. Oh, no, she was a drug addict. That was it.
Yeah, she was a drug addict.
That was so stupid.
Having AJ's kid, it was something weird. But anyway, Megan Miller apparently had an affair with Daniel Bryan. Keep in mind, they have not mentioned this since it happened.
There's a reason why, I'm guessing.
IGN interviewed Daniel Bryan about what he thought about it and if he thought it was interesting, and he said, wait, by interesting, do you mean stupid? Yeah, to me, it's groan-worthy. I don't think it added anything to the story. It was just like, ugh. But, you know, they do what they do, and you just got to roll with the punches. It's funny because I feel like sometimes you just have to overcome these things more so than anything else. Like, Brie and Stephanie have to overcome that flaw. To me, that was a flaw in the story. The story was so good. I have to disagree with Brian there. And then there's this flaw in it. But it's whatever. It doesn't hurt my feelings or anything, you know? It's just entertainment. It's not real, so okay. But even he thought it was stupid.
Well, it was.
Because it is, yeah, it was stupid.
I think WWE's realized it was stupid, and that's why they've never mentioned it again.
Yeah, and now they've just moved on to, instead of fighting Stephanie and Megan Miller, now you're fighting your sister.
What was that noise?
That's the sound of one of the creative guys thinking he did something really smart.
I have a piece of paper that tells me I'm smart.
He's an idiot.
Oh, I get it. He's stupid.
I get it. He's stupid. Anyway,
if you'd like to know what we're referencing, please go and check out the Brocast on Supla.com. There's a little plug there, guys.
Yes.
Yay.
The Brocast. Speaking of things, CM Punk's lawyers send WWE a letter. The wrestling observer, fuck it.
Was it the letter C or M?
Oh, I see what you did
the
there.
The wrestling observer is reporting CM Punk's lawyers have sent WWE a lengthy letter warning him not to use his likeness unless they pay him his due royalty, which apparently WWE have signed because of breach of a contract. One of Punk's issues, inclusion in WWE 2K15, and Punk is one of the few wrestlers that owns his name. So in retaliation to this, WWE has pulled CM Punk merchandise off their stores.
After slashing the price of all CM Punk's
merchandise, WWE have completely pulled all of his merchandise from the online store. As previously reported, Punk sent the company a lengthy letter, and I guess if they don't sell anything, then there's no royalties to pay.
Well, this is a situation.
Well, this is escalating quickly.
I mean, I knew when he walked out that there would be some mention in the future of breach of contract, and now it's finally come up. So now it's a matter of who's more right. Because they're both kind of right.
Well, they're both in the shit. Because it's like, he just, like, left, and then They were making money off a guy that left.
Making money off a guy who owns his IP, more or less.
It's just weird. It doesn't make sense.
I mean, because, again, WWE's right. He was in breach of contract when he just left. But he owns his name, and they're making money off his name. So it's a legal battle that goes over my head. But so it'll be interesting to see who
why
wins.
Why didn't they take everything off the website as soon as this contract ended?
Beats me, dude.
Why? Like, what the fuck?
Maybe they, like, had a note to do that, and then they forgot about it. Like, they lost the note. And then all of a sudden they get a letter from Punk's lawyers like, oh, shit, fucking pull the shit.
I just find it incredibly ironic the one year that I might actually dress up as this guy for Halloween, I can't buy any of his fucking merch.
Yeah. Yeah.
For fuck's sake.
I would have bought something during the sale, but there was, like, in the American version of the store, there was, like, nothing. There was, like, a hoodie and a t-shirt. Apparently in the Euro shop, or at least according to Brooks, there was, like, a bunch of stuff.
It all went down to basically clearance
price.
Yeah, they were just getting rid of it.
It's just weird. And does this mean Punk's coming back? No.
Yeah. Once he wins the lawsuit, he'll come back, guys.
Of course, that's what this means.
Yeah, it's all a sign.
It's all a work, kayfabe.
Everything's a work, ever.
You're a work. I'm a work. This
especially Jericho getting busted open on Raw.
Yes, because Chris Jericho was legitimately busted open under the chin during the opening match against Kane on Raw. WWE has shared a photo of the stitches that he needed after the match. But speaking of Jericho, he will be done after this Sunday, after this pay-per-view, because he's off to promote the release of his third autobiography, The Best in the World. At what? I have no idea.
So this current Jericho run is coming to a close, and it'll end with a match against Orton. What?
Just like it did the last time.
Oh, yeah. Ugh.
What are they going to do this time? Kick him in the head again?
Maybe.
I mean, they've got to come up with something different. For fuck's sake.
Jericho's a weird character as far as, like, on screen appearances, because it's just like he'll lose a match, leave for a few months, come back for a few months, leave for a few months. It's weird. Like, he's the epitome of a part-timer, and he never does anything except for give an occasional up-and-coming talent the rub.
Well, that's the point. Like, that's like how it should be.
But the past three times he's done that, it hasn't really done much.
Well, it's not fucking Jericho's fault. It's like the fault of this alleged creative fucking team that's just horrible.
Because the first person he did that to
Carmine?
That hasn't worked out.
Fandango!
No, Ziggler.
Was it?
Ziggler was first, and that one kind of worked.
Sorry, Carmine, can you say your thing again?
And that just didn't go anywhere.
Carmine, can you say your thing again? Because on my end, you kind of just went for like a minute. Like, it was just silent.
Like, Wyatt's feud with Cena killed a lot of his momentum, and it sounds like we're cutting out, apparently.
Oh!
Well, yeah, you were. That's what I'm saying. Can you do it again? Can you say what you said again?
Which part?
I can't quite remember. You cut out halfway through it.
Well, do you know what I was saying before the cutting out?
Not really. You were cutting out.
Well, before that happened, Liam, what was I saying before that?
We were talking about Jericho being busted open.
Jeebus.
Something like
that. We missed all of that?
Kind of.
Wyatt is shit. Let's just go from Wyatt is shit.
Wyatt's not shit. It's like Ziggler. He's being booked poorly.
It's not Jericho's.
I didn't say it was Jericho's fault.
Oh, I don't. I just hate this creative team. I really do.
That's what it all comes down to, really. they want Jericho to give up and comers the rub, and it's not working because they can't capitalize on it.
I mean every Chris Jericho run has just been even more bland and just boring, and I don't care.
I mean, now they got Wyatt in a feud with Big Show.
Does that make sense?
God. And you know why this feud started?
Nope. Why?
It started on SmackDown because Big Show was part of a like 8 or 10 man tag team match, and Harper and Rowan were on the opposing team of Big Show. And at some point in the match, Bray Wyatt started walking towards the ring, allegedly to get involved. And then Big Show just stepped off the apron and looked at him. And then Bray Wyatt walked away. And then they had a match on Raw.
Yeah, well, that's one way to start a feud, I guess, guys.
So, wait. Never mind Stone Cold being run over. Never mind fucking winning a fucking tournament. Never mind anything like interrupting a match. Literally, this guy just looked at the Big Show, and that's it.
Yep.
Brilliant.
Now that's booking 101 there. That is a masterclass in booking. Vince Russo clearly wrote all that.
And the Raw match was the epitome of storytelling because it ended by disqualification when Harper and Rowan jumped on the Big Show.
Ah, brilliant.
Yeah. Wyatt is a great character, but they're handling him so fucking poorly.
I've never got the appeal of the Wyatt.
Yeah, I know you never got the appeal, Liam. I'm not getting into this.
I understand why he's good, but it's like, once he feuded with Cena, that was it. Like,
he killed a lot of his money. And then the whole Jericho thing was trying to like recover some of that shit that he lost to Cena. And people still have the nerve to say Cena doesn't bury people. Like, look what almost happened to Wyatt. Jesus. But the whole point of his feud with Jericho was to recover some of that. And it worked in a sense, but this immediately going into a feud with Big Show that makes no sense. Like, these guys don't know what they're doing.
Creative clearly just don't know what to do with them.
They don't know what to do with anyone.
It's what it is. It's they've gone to their default setting of, we'll just put them with Big Show.
Like, look at this, like, dream feud of Paige and AJ and how poorly it's going.
What is it? Who's the baby face? Who's the heel? What?
Dude, I don't know. I think AJ's the face.
Right. Okay. Is that just because Paige
is the heel?
Shouts a lot? Is that why?
What?
Is that because Paige shouts a lot? Is that why
no,
she's the villain?
No, the thing is, they're frenemies.
Oh, fuck off.
They copy each other?
What is this?
Is this just Mickey James and Trish Stratus?
Maybe. Because Paige sometimes skips around the ring, and then AJ looks at her and smiles, and Paige is like, "Ugh, what are you doing?" And then they both say, "I love you." And it's
just.
I think
Andy's got his dinner.
I don't understand.
Professionalism. Andy?
I'm just at a loss. I don't even know what the fuck. What is this shit?
And then the best part is, at Night of Champions, Paige and AJ are having another match, but it's going to be a triple threat because Nikki Bella is in it.
Why?
What's happening?
Why is Nikki Bella in it?
Because someone upstairs hates me.
That's the only logic we have. We have no other logic. I'm at a loss for words. For once in my life, we talked about TNA being shit. We talked about Vince Russo being a fucking clown. But this, I'm at a loss. I have no idea what to say. What is this shit?
I think that sums it up. I think that alone sums it up.
Crap?
I mean, what can you say, to be fair?
Like, all the Divas feuds are terrible. They're just all terrible.
We haven't had a decent women's feud since, God, summer
AJ
2013.
Caitlin.
Yeah, AJ Caitlin.
And Paige and AJ was supposed to be the next big one, and it's just fallen the fuck apart.
And it's sad. It's so, so sad.
It's like, so sad.
Oh, it's bad. Can we talk about something else?
Yes, Brock Lesnar's claws when he signed first with WWE. Jim Ross, by God.
What does that sentence mean, Andy?
Huh?
What is Lesnar's clause when signing with WWE? What does that mean? That's all you said.
Well, he had a claw. He had a claw.
Basically, he has massive claws like a lobster.
Yes, he has lobster claws.
Lobster Lesnar. Brock.
Lobster. Jim Ross revealed on his latest Fox Sports column, when Brock Lesnar originally signed with WWE, he worked a clause that they also had to sign Shelton Benjamin. The only catch was that we needed to also recruit and offer Brock Lesnar's teammate Shelton Benjamin as well, as JR says. Benjamin was an amazing athlete, and signing the South Carolina native was a blessing as he had a solid WWE career, arguably underutilized in the opinion of some.
Well, I mean, go back to the Supla Bite Size, which is on YouTube and will from now on be exclusively on Supla.com. On the very first episode of the Supla Bite Size, we talk about people who were underappreciated during their run, and Shelton Benjamin did come up in the conversation. And I said, you know, I think his mic work was pretty dire, but his in-ring work was some of the best that I've ever seen, I think.
Yeah.
And it was sad. And we talked about the whole thing where he beat Triple H like 3 times in a row. And we were like, shit. Because that was during Triple H's reign of burying. That's when he was a fucking graveyard master.
That was horrible. God, no, that time period is so much worse than now.
And I love how it's being recreated in the new WWE game. As if we want to be reminded of
it. Why would anyone want to play that?
Do you just want to bury everyone on the roster?
You want to pedigree everyone and suck the life out of every fucking arena? Then you can! Fucking
2K15. Destroy the hopes and dreams of fans.
Pedigree someone. Every fucking time. He just sucked the life out of the arena. Everyone's like, oh God, not this. Fucking hell. It's like anytime Orton hits an RKO now, it's like, oh,
you just hear a collective. Collective groan.
I don't know why. It's just every time. It's like, not this shit.
An attitude adjustment.
Exactly. It's like, oh, well, you fuck off.
Can I just say, the attitude adjustment, the worst name for a finisher ever?
It's terrible. I'm going to set you straight by slamming you on
the
ground.
You went slightly Irish then.
No.
I'm going to set you straight.
No.
What the fuck?
That was Carmine's impression of just John Cena. I'm going to set you straight, mate. You fucking cunt.
I don't know what the fuck I just did.
Seamus Cena.
Speaking of things that are so much better than professional wrestling, good old JR, Jim Ross, and Chael Sonnen, the MMA fighter, are doing MMA announcing. Good old JR Jim Ross is joining the controversial MMA star Chael Sonnen to call the action for the Battleground MMA event on October 3rd from the Buck Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The show is being built around Ryan Couture, the son of the MMA Hall of Famer Randy Couture, and Ryan Couture will be facing Johnny Carson, whoever the fuck he is.
Brilliant, Andy.
The first thing that strikes me weird is, like, MMA copied a WWE pay-per-view name? Battleground?
I think that's what the company's actually called, Battleground.
Oh. Okay.
Carmine's just like, oh.
That's
wrong,
not great.
On so many levels.
The Battleground champion of the world.
Dup.
That's not good. But what happened to Chael Sonnen? I thought he was a fighter. Is he Alex Riley now?
Yeah, what happened was, in his last fight, he got done for PEDs and growth drugs or something. He basically got done for drugs. He's been banned for 2 years. The UFC have got rid of him because he's just like, we can't have this shit. He was a Fox Sports analyst. He got kicked off that because Fox were like, you do drugs, fuck off.
Wait. Fox has a moral compass.
Somehow, yes.
What?
And then Battleground shows up, is like, we don't give a shit.
Battleground is kind of like
good
the
old
Supra.
JR on our show.
But Chael Sonnen has done, like, I think it's like a jiu-jitsu match or something for a jiu-jitsu company called Metamoris or something like that. But yeah, Chael Sonnen's got nothing to do. JR is like, I hate wrestling because nobody knows how to sell a damn punch. And basically, that's now a thing. JR is now in the MMA business. So he's like, fuck you, wrestling. Because the Ring of Honor guys need to slow down. So, yeah.
By God, that Kimura lock nearly broke his arm in half.
By God, Michael, he nearly decapitated him, Michael. What the fuck?
And then Chael Sonnen's like, my name's not Michael, I don't know you.
Yeah, I'm confused. I'm confused Jim Ross with JBL. What the fuck?
It's bad.
But to be fair, like, let's be honest here. Wrestling has never exactly been kind to Jim Ross.
No. I mean, set him on fire once.
They set him on fire. Vince McMahon did a skit where he literally pulled JR's head out of his own asshole. Literally. That happened, guys.
That is a thing, yes.
That actually happened.
What a world we live in.
He's not...
I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
He had to tag team with Jerry Lawler against Michael Cole and... was it Jack Swagger?
Yeah. Yeah,
that,
I remember that.
That was a thing.
No.
That happened.
Oh, it was a strap match too. I remember that.
It's not exactly been very kind to him, the wrestling business.
Remember when Michael Cole... sprayed like barbecue sauce all over his face.
That's what I mean. I mean, they've not been kind to him. Because when Michael Cole just did that, you just thought, it's fucking Michael Cole getting one up on Jim Ross.
Fuck JBL.
We fight on Friday night.
We fight on Friday night. Fucking dickhead. He's just a pleb. I hate him and I want him to pull in it.
Just
fuck
that was
JBL.
So
I don't care if he was good when he was on SmackDown. He's shit.
We all on SmackDown now, Michael.
We fight on Friday nights, Michael.
Michael.
Or maybe on Thursday nights, Michael.
Why does he say it like that? Why Michael. Does he sound like he's a fucking twat?
He just says Maggle. He can't talk.
Just
M-A-G-G-L-E, Maggle.
I'm confusing
John
with the guy who had a Bell's palsy attack. And that there were points in his life when he couldn't talk. But JBL's a perfectly fucking normal functioning human being. And can't even say the word fucking Michael properly. Fucking idiot. Fuck this guy, he's shit. Go back to whatever the fuck it was you did before you came back. Go away.
I made my millions on Wall Street, Michael.
It's a fucking waste of human resources. Like,
John,
we're fast,
John.
Friday night, Michael.
King, John. Michael. Michael, King.
Shut up.
John. Just Michael. Calm down. Michael. Say, Michael.
It's like he's Michael. Got him
if he,
Michael.
He would be like... Michael. No. Michael.
Michael.
No.
I'm saying Michael.
Michael. I'm saying Michael.
He can cut a perfectly good promo, but he can't fucking say the word Michael, though, can he? What's wrong with this guy?
I just want to see the day where he just breaks down and Michael is the only thing he can say now.
Michael.
It's like Timmy.
I don't want that to be a thing. No. I want that. That's how he leaves TV forever, right? He just sits there during one round of match, and he'd be like, Michael.
Just need to. I just need to point something out for one second, and it goes back to the...
Michael.
And then Rod Simmons comes out.
We need to explain what Carmine just did. We need to explain what Carmine just did.
You explain this every video.
you need to go and watch the Elimination Chamber reaction video, because I don't know how we got onto it, but we got onto the impression of Jimmy from South Park.
What it was is when Elimination Chamber Batista versus Del Rio basically turned into a cripple fight.
Oh, that was it.
And it reminded you of South Park's cripple fight, and we just started talking about what if Batista was a derp? And then it just turned into Batista. JBL versus Batista. Michael! Batista! Michael!
Stop, it's gonna kill me. It's gonna kill me.
Making the people that come up with stupid storylines.
Mastermind.
Spike TV rips Vince Russo to shreds when they say that nobody cares or knows who he is.
This was brilliant.
In a recent interview with Pro Wrestling Report, Vince Russo said that Spike TV have done badly by TNA and that they weren't a good partner for the wrestling company. But David Schwartz, the senior vice president of communications for Spike TV, responded with comments to the Wrestling Observer and completely ripped...
Words! English! Language! You have a degree now.
So, Schwartz says that I want to start by saying that we enjoyed a great relationship. A very collaborative relationship with Dixie Carter and her team over the years. We took TNA from a late night spot on Saturday nights, doing 500,000 viewers, to a 2-hour time slot that did 2 million viewers over time.
Wait, what universe did it make 2 million viewers?
Spike went out of its way, not just in adhering its contract, but going above and beyond the contract. We paid Hulk Hogan, we paid Eric Bischoff with our money, we financed many shows. Finance the UK shows.
That's not a shout.
We've helped to promote. We give TNA a prime time slot of Thursdays at 9 to 11 p.m.
Not prime time.
I think his comments are way off base. Clearly, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's somebody who thinks more of himself than he really exists. Vince Russo never meant anything to Spike TV. He had nothing to do with negotiations. Nobody cares about Vince Russo at Spike TV. He cares or knows who he is. We have a great relationship with TNA, and we went above and beyond for them, as they did for us. Dixie helped to promote our shows, and what Vince Russo is saying is complete nonsense. Amen! Hey, fucking men!
There were so many things in that didn't make sense. First of all, Thursdays from 9 to 11 is not prime time. Is not anything.
I'm sorry. We're missing the key one here. Going to 2 million viewers.
500,000 to 2 million, and then back to 500. Not 1,000, just 500.
This is a company that can't even sell out a house show. And you're telling me that they had 2 million viewers watching them every week. I'm sorry, what? The video of Andy singing about how he likes to suck ass got more views than a TNA house show.
Yeah.
That's quite worrying, because I don't like to do that at all. God's sake!
Anyway, it's really bad. Like, they're right. Russo's just a piece of crap, but they didn't do much either.
The problem with Russo is that he knocked it right on the head when he said that he thinks he's more than actually exists. He does. And it's all down. Russo thinks he is this creative genius, all because of one segment on Raw back in 1999 that got a 9.8 rating. And that was Rock, This Is Your Life.
Yeah.
That is the... literally, that's the most successful thing he's done. And since then, he thinks he's been a creative genius. I'm sorry, this is the same man. This is the same man that gave David Arquette the WCW Championship.
David Arquette, This Is Your Life.
Remember that time when Kevin Federline came into WWE? Yeah. Fucking Russo would have made him champion.
Oh, God.
Give him all three belts. All three fucking world belts.
Kevin Federline will bury Triple H at WrestleMania.
But what makes it worse is if he was a creative genius that he claims to be, he would have took WCW to a higher level. They would still exist, like, of the fuck it. I can't say I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore.
They would still
I have a piece of paper that says I'm not stupid. He can't even speak the English language. But, I mean, I always say that WCW's biggest advantage was that it had Ted Turner behind it. I don't think WCW would be nearly as powerful as it was if it wasn't for Ted Turner. And what's the proof of that? TNA. TNA is exactly like WCW, only on a lower fucking budget. And it shows.
Yeah. But there's no reason for them to be on a lower budget.
What, TNA?
They're owned by a fucking energy company.
No, Andy. There's a big difference between an energy company like Dixie Carter's dad and then fucking Ted Turner.
I know that, but the point is, because Michael...
Now, if they were owned... If TNA was owned by Donald Trump, then I would say there's no fucking excuse. Panda Energy... you can't even get Panda Energy outside of America. It's not exactly any massive company.
And it's not even all of America. I don't know where that is.
Really?
This
is what I mean. It's not exactly Donald Trump that's backing TNA. They may have a corporation behind them, but it's clearly not a corporation that's as big as fucking Turner Industries.
Yeah, everyone in America had Turner Industries. No, I don't know where the fuck Panda Energy is.
And this is the thing. This is why WCW, the only reason why WCW, in my opinion, had any mild success was because they had a massive bank account. That's how they could poach Bret Hart, Hulk Hogan, Lex Luger, anyone. They could just poach them. Fucking Ultimate Warrior. But the problem... Well, that's a whole different argument about how they just kept the same people for years. That's a different story. What we're talking about is Russo and his success or failures. And the only reason... I can't explain why This Is Your Life did so well. I can't explain it. I thought it was a fucking stupid segment. I've never understood why that's always been in Raw's top fucking five moments in the past 25 years. Never understood why. But, you know, I'm just thinking. Like, is anyone there? Hello? Speak?
No, I get it. I was just waiting for, like, a main point. But, TNA doesn't have anything going for it.
What has Russo done for himself that has been successful?
They keep hiring C-tier talent, thinking that's going to mean something.
This is the beginning of which TNA, they have done that just recently. Yeah. It's breaking news. Brotus Clay.
Brotus? Who's Brotus Clay? Who's Brotus Clay?
I can't wait to hear what his name is.
Brodus Clay has debuted for TNA. The former WWE WWE star Brodus Clay has made his TNA debut at the recent Bethlehem PA tapings. It looks like he's going to be the muscle for EC3 and not a happy dancing character. And it's not clear what his name is going to be yet. So by God, fucking Mike today, what fucking Brotus? Not Clay doing in not the Impact Zone, Mike.
What's
fucking
Brotus
prick.
Plato doing in the Impact Zone?
What's the Funkadactyl doing here?
He's going to be called Brotus.
Brotus, there you go.
Somebody called like my mother.
Where's the Funkarexus doing in the Impact Zone?
No.
Eating disorder. Oh, I got Funker Rectus.
What? Doctor! What do I have? I'm sorry, it's bad. You have Frogter Rectus. Oh my God!
I have too much fiber, I have Funker Rectus.
I'm really sorry to tell you this, but you have Michaelitis. What does that mean? It means you'll never be able to say the word Michael like a normal human being.
Dr. Michael, what do you mean?
But Dr. Michael!
I've called all of my sons Michael!
So there's Russo Foot, there's a Funkerectus, And there's what? Michaelitis?
Michaelitis.
Michaelitis.
Well, you can't say the word Michael like a normal human being.
He's a fucking idiot!
No, we're still on that!
He's a fucking moron! He just is! Like, just an idiot. Right, speaking of scarily idiotic things, TNA has halted all of their house shows. It is believed that going forward that TNA will not be running house shows, which are live events outside of TV and pay-per-view. Presumably as a cost-cutting measure, since they often draw low and that they're losing money doing them. Following Bound for Glory, there are no more house shows until the scheduled UK tour in January of 2015.
I've never heard of a wrestling company losing money doing house shows.
Right, now you fucking have.
Unbelievable.
I mean, to be fair, like, let's be honest, to be fair, are any of us truly shocked? I mean, we've seen the pictures of the attendance, the attendees there. There's literally just, like, one guy who clearly looks like he still lives in his parents' basement, and he,
woo!
And he's like...
I really like your t-shirt.
What do you think?
Oh, I think the,
I just love playing EWR!
It's the three guys at the TNA house show.
Yes! No, you got EWR guy, and I love Brooke Tessmacher's shirts, and...
what do you think?
What was the other guy?
What do you think?
What do you think, man?
What do you think of the Funkeritis?
House shows.
What do you think of Funkeritis?
Funkeritis? Oh no! I just realised that sounds like some kind of STD.
I think Brodus is really going places with this title picture. I think he's going to get it by the end of November.
I mean, with the Funkeritis gimmick. I mean, of course.
I think EC3 is really good.
Well, yeah, if they
because you're really getting over with the crowd,
yeah, but,
you can hear
but
it.
Guys, if they don't do it, then I'm gonna do it in my EWR.
I just love playing EWR, and in my game, I'll make Jeff Hardy my champion.
I will give it to Brunk Erectus.
What? That wasn't even
Brunk Erectus.
What was that? That was Brodus and Funk together.
It's a fucking STI. This was syphilis.
His name just changes every week.
What do you think of Cock Erectus?
What do you think of Twat?
Cock Erectus.
What do you think of Twat?
Guys, what do you think of?
What do you think of George? I like him.
What do you think of Michael Rectus?
Brunk.
Brunky Rectus.
First name Brunk, last name Rectus, middle initial E.
Brunky Rectus.
Brunk E Rectus. What a fucking wank name. This show, Brooks has put in the chat that this show has literally become about fucking twats and erections. If Freud was alive today, Freud would have been like, fucking Nora.
Even
if Freud was alive, he'd be like, I'm fucking done. This is just fucking too much.
This is just fucking weird.
My Andy Quandra don't.
I'm sorry.
The
idea of Freud just going, you guys need to see fucking hell.
You guys are fucked up, I gotta say.
This is what going, happens this when is you've been much. Lifelong wrestling fans. It drives you fucking insane.
Even Freud would go, you guys are fucking too weird for me. Just, I'm out. I'm done.
And Freud's like sitting in there with a new page. He's like, so tell me about your childhood.
Well, I remember one time I went to a house show and I saw Brunky Rectus. It was pretty great.
His voice is the greatest. Keep doing it. That's the best thing I've ever heard. Sorry, my hand is caught in the
That needs to be wrong? A character. Oh, that needs to be a character on the show.
Exactly.
Oh, fucking hell, that's up there with EWR guy and Gollum Dixie.
That's I remember Brunk Erectus had a match with Gollum Dixie. It was for the TNA title. I don't remember who won, but it was pretty great.
And then Freud's just sitting there like, I can't help you, you have to leave. I just, I don't want you near me.
Mate, you're too fucking weird for me. I'm done.
Oh my god, Chowan has literally come up with a fucking... He's got... It's the Anaconda album.
Yes, Brooks, yes!
God, it's got Liam's face and my face on Nicki Minaj. Oh my god. I don't want to do a show anymore. I've had enough.
Hey, Andy, what do you think?
I think we should start wrapping.
Same way. Why do you people suck?
I think we should start wrapping this up before we completely lose insanity.
Now we're completely losing it. Okay.
What do you think of the Anaconda?
Oh my god.
I'm gonna cry.
Let's end this now, please.
Let's end it now.
I have been
Brokey Rectus.
And I have just been fucking scarred for life.
What do you think?